So what do you do if suddenly you're diagnosed with a very serious illness? How do you react to it? Do you just accept it initially and go, that's just my lot in life? Or do you, like most people, I suppose, rage against the dying of the light, to quote Dylan Thomas, I think it was. Well, this subject kind of popped into my head when I was thinking about our visit today from Richard Burke from Safe Harbour. So we're going to have a chat about that now. Just how you react to serious illness, what you can do about it, other than, I suppose, the traditional medicines. I'm not talking about curing it, but just learning to live with it. Richard, you're welcome back to the programme.
Thanks, Ian.
So, Richard, on this subject, I suppose the first thing is, would you get people coming to you who suffer, who have been diagnosed with serious illnesses and looking for some sort of help from you?
Yeah, a huge chunk of my clientele would come from with very serious issues, maybe not to deal with them directly, like people who come with cancer and MS and Parkinson's disease and AIDS and these type of things. But there's a huge periphery of issues that surround that. So you'll have people who are afraid of chemotherapy, there are people who are afraid of needles, there are people who are very angry about this has actually happened in their lives. They're resentful, they're depressed. Mm-hmm. They're fearful of what's going to happen in the future. Is this disease going to get progressive and get worse? And they may also have other baggage involved before they even got hit. Like they might have family history of depression, or they might have issues with their parents, or they might have issues with their partner. Mm-hmm. And all these issues don't go away just because you're sick.
That's right.
If anything, it's just like extra baggage. Mm-hmm. So what happens is you're trying to deal with these different issues in your mind. You're diluting your efforts. Your mind is now diluting all these different efforts. And your recovery is longer,
right,
and tougher
because your energy has been dissipated.
It's been dissipated elsewhere. So my job as a therapist is to help people deal with these issues. It could be to deal with the stress. It could be to deal with the fear. It even could be just to help people accept, look, this actually happened. This has happened.
Well, that's a big part of it, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
You know, that you nobody expects themselves to be visited with cancer or with any of those serious diseases. And it's how you react when it does happen, because it's bad enough that it's happened, but if you layer, you know, other things like, you know, self-pity on top of it, well, then...
You become buried. You're buried in the problem. And what happens is then you kind of just implode. So my job as a therapist is to help people kind of peel away these other layers, and the sessions can be very, very emotional. It's about peeling back these layers and trying to get rid of all the other baggage that's attached. And once you can shed off that baggage after a number of sessions, then you can actually start focusing on, okay, you have MS, you have Parkinson's, you have cancer. Let's start looking at that with all the energy now that you have available to you, because you know you shed the baggage that you used to have.
Okay, let me ask you about that. So when you've shed the other baggage and you have the energy and you're feeling very, I suppose, focused and able to deal with it, this one thing, is there a role for your sort of work in things like pain management?
There is. There's a lot of evidence suggesting that hypnosis is effective for pain. And I myself would use it for pain myself. Now, pain is a good thing. Pain is a message that your body is sending your brain. Hey, look, there's something wrong, Ian. You know, go look at your foot, or look at your back. If it's chronic pain and it's pain that's due to an illness and you know that it's not going to go away, it's symptomatic of what's going on with your body, then you can learn to reduce the pain by your associations with it in your mind. And relaxation and hypnosis techniques are very effective in doing that. So it's not just hypnosis. There's other things I do as well which will help people to reframe the pain response.
Because I suppose what you're saying to the brain is, look, brain, I get the message, right? I know that there's something wrong with my knee or whatever it is, right?
Exactly.
We've accepted that now. You don't need to keep sending the same strong signals all the time. So
absolutely. Yes, absolutely. There's lots of different ways of doing it. Like, very often people will explain pain through their senses. They'll say that it's sharp.
Yeah.
They'll say it's spiky, it's red, you know, it's big, it's small, it's hard. No, so pain comes in with different imagery. And part of the hypnosis, by asking people to listen to CDs, is to start changing your associations with the pain and start disassociating ourselves with it. Like, for example, if you had a pain in your leg, but something really wonderful happened to you, your mind goes someplace else.
That's right.
So pain is like it's like a question. Mm-hmm. It's a laser of human consciousness. It all your consciousness focuses on it. When you distract your mind from something else, it doesn't mean it goes away. It means that you can actually disassociate yourself from it, and it gets easier.
Because for people, I suppose, particularly in the later stages of cancer, who want to stay lucid, I mean, a lot of those pain-killing drugs do take away the lucidity, so you get a bit kind of dopey and out of it, and they don't want that, so this could help, I presume.
Absolutely, it does, it does help, and it's a huge help. Like, predominantly, the one single thing that helps with all these serious illnesses is a person's ability to relax. And hypnosis is probably the most effective method of actually learning how to relax. And people really underestimate the relaxation response. But the relaxation response is the exact opposite to the stress response. So we all know what it's like to go nuts. People say, I'm up to 90, I'm up to my eyes, you know, I'm really stressed. Relaxation response is just as powerful as that. It's just the exact opposite of it.
Yeah.
And your normal bodily balance, your hormones, your nerves, and all the systems work at their best when your body's actually relaxed. Yeah. but most of us have actually forgotten how to relax. Now, you point on top of that the fact that you now have a serious illness, then obviously the stress gets higher and higher and higher. So I like to go back to basics. You just strip it back to basics. A person learns to accept they actually have this illness, and then we teach the person how to relax and then move on from there. Every person is different.
Indeed they are. And I suppose, like, you know, with that powerful state of relaxation, you look at babies who say, I don't know, go to bed with a cold and they wake up perfect because they sleep during the night and they relax and the body takes over. So absolutely, it's the same, I presume, for adults and people with serious illnesses as well.
Absolutely.
Richard, a pleasure as ever to talk to you. Safeharbour.ie is the website. Richard Burke, thanks a million. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Ian.